All right. Well, hi, everybody. My name is Melanie Stock, and I am a PhD candidate with Dr. Francisco Arriaga in the Department of Soil Science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And we collaborated with Dr. Peter Vadas at the USDA ARS, Dr. Laura Ward-Good, also in soil science at Madison, and Dr. K.G. Karthikeyan in biological systems engineering at Madison. The title of my talk today is Reducing Winter Runoff Losses from Dairy Agro Ecosystems Through Tillage and Manure Application Timing. So the background of my work is really this grand challenge in Wisconsin of having 1.3 million dairy cows and a place to manage the manure. The long-standing practice has been to apply the manure to the landscape year-round because of the cost of storage and so forth. But during the winter season, there's this challenge in that the soil is frozen, and so the manure can't be incorporated. And on top of that, most of our annual runoff occurs on frozen soils. About 75% can happen in a given year. So because of this sensitive time of year, there's been some updates to our manure regulations. However, there's a lack of conclusive data to draw upon. Most of the studies took place in the 1970s, and they really pioneered the work of having plot-scale research, testing management practices, but they didn't account for the complexity of weather conditions and variability from year to year, as well as the frozen soil hydrology. And so all of those studies ended in having confounding effects and not being able to recommend a given management treatment. On top of all that, our manure matrix has changed a lot since the 1970s. We've gone from a solid bedded manure to a liquid manure as our farms have consolidated and become larger. So what we have learned from the 1970s may not be directly applied today with a more liquid form of manure. So from this, we have two main objectives. The first is very applied. We want to identify management practices that will reduce runoff on frozen soils. And we're starting very basic here in terms of testing the effect of tillage and also the timing of that manure application in the winter. And we'll talk more about that in the next slide. Then secondly, in order to not repeat what happened in the 1970s, we have this very heavy instrumentation approach so that we can account for the physical processes that are driving snowmelt and runoff in relation to these practices. So if we see differences from the management treatments, we'll be able to explain why and also account for the weather and frozen soil conditions. So our management treatments. As I mentioned, we're looking at the presence of tillage. So for us, conventional tillage is a fall chisel plow with a spring finisher compared to no tillage. And really the way to kind of envision this here is that we're interested in what happens with a rough versus smooth soil surface in the winter. Within that, then, we have three manure application timings. The first is our unmanured control. The second is our early application in December. And so here in Wisconsin, our soils tended to have just frozen. We haven't yet accumulated snowpack. So we're applying manure right on that bare soil surface, and snow accumulates after that. Then lastly, we have our late January application. There's more frost development in the soil, and we've also begun to really accumulate snowpack. So now we're applying manure on top of the snow. And so we have a complete factorial design, which means we have every combination of these tillage and timing treatments for a total of six treatments. And then we established that in triplicate at the UW-Arlington Agricultural Research Station, which is about a half-hour drive north of Madison in south-central Wisconsin. The thing I want to point out here is that we used a liquid dairy manure, and we did not aim to test the rate at which we were applying. We wanted to apply the maximum allowable rate in Wisconsin, which is about 65 kiloliters per hectare, or 7,000 gallons per acre. But what we found with our no-tillage plots is that if we applied at that rate, we would have immediate runoff. And so right from the start then, we reduced our application rate to 4,000 gallons per acre, and that's what it was for the remainder of the study. So here's a general plot plan here. I mentioned before that there's heavy instrumentation. There's instruments in each of these plots, but then in one replicate or six plots, we have additional instrumentation. And so what that allows us to do is calculate a water energy balance. And this does two things for us. So first, we're keeping track of all the solar radiation that enters our field site and our given plots, and then also all of the liquid that's coming onto the plots through precipitation, rain, snow, or manure, and we're partitioning everywhere that goes. As an applied soil physicist, one of the challenges of winter is that our instrumentation was developed in the growing season. And so either the instrumentation can go out of range, it needs calibrations and so forth to work in the freezing season, which can introduce some error to the data. By having this balanced approach, we can reduce some of that error and just have a more robust data set. The other thing that it does for us is it allows us to account for the variability in weather conditions as well as the hydrology on the frozen soils, so that if we see differences in our practices, we can explain them. So let's take a look at what happened. We'll look at two winters worth of data. So winter 2015-2016 on the right, winter 2016-2017 on the left. Our time goes from the end of November through the end of March in both years. The bottom graph is our frost depth in centimeters. Then we have our snow depth in millimeters. And the pink shading represents a melt event during the freezing season. And so the main thing that I want to point out here is that we had relatively mild winters. We had one of the latest freezes ever in the winter of 2015-2016, as our soil didn't freeze until the end of December, about a month late. So this first application was applied to bare soil. It didn't have any snowpack yet, but it was an unfrozen, saturated soil. Then we began to accumulate snow, the frost developed, and so the January went as planned on a frozen soil with snowpack. And then we thawed around March 12th. This past winter, we froze a bit sooner, still later than our normal, but then we also began to accumulate snowpack early in the season. So that December application took place on a frozen soil with snowpack accumulation, much like its January application then when we had more extensive frost development and snowpack. The last thing I want to point out then is just the melt events themselves. So in our first winter, we had one major event which took place around February 21st. But then this last season, we had more frequent melt events and they were larger events. So what does that mean in terms of runoff? And I'll spend a bit of time on this slide since the rest of the data slides are formatted this way. So again, we've got our winters here across the x-axis. Runoff is in millimeters. Blue represents our unmanured control. Red is our December application. And then black is our January manure application. The dashed lines represent chisel plow tillage and then no tillage with a solid line. So our first winter, relatively small events, not a lot of runoff lost, except for that late February event. And so in that case, all of our no-tillage plots had significantly more runoff, regardless of the manure timing, compared to the chisel plow plots. This past winter, it's a little bit more curious. It's harder to kind of weed that out, so let's take a look at what happened for the total season. So here now I've got the application timing on the x-axis separated between the chisel and no-tillage. And so yeah, again, our first winter, it's really clear that we're having significantly more runoff occurring from our plots with no-tillage, regardless of the timing treatment. This past winter, the chisel plow starts to catch up to no-tillage, so there's fewer significant differences occurring. So in terms now of our losses, let's first take a look at total solids. Generally in the winter, we don't expect to see a lot of losses because the soil is frozen and it's relatively stable. Here in our first winter, our soil thawed around March 12th, and then we had a lot of precipitation that occurred in March, and so we had this large loss of total solids. And so this past winter, we had more melt events that occurred on frozen soil, but then we didn't have any that occurred during March. So we didn't have the same solid losses. Then again, looking in terms of totals, there tends to be greater losses on no-tillage compared to the chisel, but really not a difference, a significant difference in terms of the manure timing. Okay. All right, so now let's take a look at phosphorus losses. It's following a similar trend, especially our first winter. So here, the solid black line is our January manure application on our no-tillage plots, significantly more phosphorus loss than any of the other treatments. And then this past winter, we see this increase in losses from the December application on our no-tillage plots, and that really makes sense. I mean, it's a similar treatment in a way to our January application because in this winter, our soil was frozen and we had snowpack, so we're applying manure on top of snow in both the December and the January treatments. In terms of losses for the entire season then, again, there tends to be more losses from no-tillage compared to the chisel plow. for both years, but here we're seeing this pickup now from our December application. If we take a look at our dissolved reactive phosphorus losses, we're following a similar trend. So again, this one spike during our first winter versus there's a few events where we're losing more phosphorus. But it's really also the biggest difference is from the tillage treatment, especially if we're looking at the total losses. So that was surprising to us that the no tillage had such greater losses than did the chisel. And so we have a few hypothesized mechanisms as to what could be occurring. So the first is that the fall tillage provided more time for the water to infiltrate the frozen soil, and that's what reduced our runoff losses. It's not so much that the tillage increased the infiltration potential of the soil, it's more that the series of ridges and furrows, which, by the way, is on the contour, simply gave the snow melt a place to pond, and that gave it more time to infiltrate, compared to no tillage when it's this smooth surface and there's nothing to really slow down the velocity of that runoff. The second thing that we've hypothesized is that by applying manure on top of snow, we're decreasing its surface albedo. So I like to compare this to wearing a black shirt on a summer day and you just feel a little bit warmer. Here we're applying a dark manure to a white snow, and so it's able to absorb more solar radiation, a couple hundred watts per meter squared for the season. And so that in turn has actually accelerated snow melt by up to 3 days, which can tend to exacerbate the problem then of needing more time to infiltrate into a frozen soil. The last thing I just want to quickly show here is to compare our two winters. Here I'm looking at the total water equivalent. That's how much snow melted and potential rain that also was available to run off. And then dividing that between infiltration and runoff. And so you can see that most water is infiltrated on a frozen soil, but there was just so much more that had to be processed this past winter. So a summary of my findings then are that the losses were reduced by fall tillage, but accelerated with application on snow. And some of the things that we should maybe think about is that our assumptions from the growing season may not be appropriate during the freezing season. And so really we need to look at these two time periods together when we're making our management decisions. And with that, thank you very much. Can I take any questions? Yes.
So I was curious, I work with much smaller dairies, and so our growers have enough storage to last them until the spring. Are growers in a position to apply when it's frozen just because of the lack of storage?
That's a great question. So in our state, CAFOs are supposed to have 180 days of storage, and they are not supposed to apply on a frozen soil. But they can apply during an emergency situation. And so that actually happened for us a couple years ago. We had a really early freeze about mid-November, and so they hadn't yet emptied out their lagoons. And so they were trying to hold on to it and hoping kind of for an early thaw. And what happened was it was the year of the polar vortex, so we had a very late thaw, and so they were applying on frozen soil. So in part what this could answer is that if we're in that situation, would it be better just to apply it earlier in December or not?
What time does silage come off?
October.
Okay, so you have a pretty small window.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
Just wondering whether you have seen also the physical properties of soils, the infiltration capacity, whether it changes or not, because your runoff is high from no-till.
Mm-hmm.
But other agronomic practices, actually, no-till supports infiltration more than other tillage practices.
So, yes.
Do you have those data, density or saturated conductivity?
I love that you brought that up because that's one of my favorite things, and that's what I'm still working on is some of the soil hydraulic properties. But what I can say kind of on the surface is that all comes down to the antecedent water content. I did a little bit of work trying to actually measure infiltration with our Arduinos this past winter, and what I found, so when we froze this winter, we were at about field capacity. The chisel plowed plots could actually infiltrate about 5 centimeters of water in 2 minutes, and it took our no-tillage plots about 20 minutes. But after a few melt periods, our soil became saturated, and then at that point, the no-tillage was a little bit faster.
What is the soil type texture? Is it clay soil?
It's a silt loam soil, so there's three soil series on this field site.
Right.
But it's a generally well-grained, well-drained, well-aggregated silt loam soil.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. And thank you.